I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God is good and all the time. Happy Sabbath. Thank you very much for coming to God's house to listen to His Word. I want to welcome those of you listening via the internet. We're grateful to God for technology. Of course, it has two sides. We're grateful for the good side, and that allows a man to stand in a pulpit and be watched in Shanghai or New York or Melbourne, Australia, or some other place, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. So we're grateful to God for this technology, and He's given it to us, not for entertainment, but that we may find one more way of taking the gospel all over the world. Can you say amen? Our subject for this evening, the exception to the rule. What did I say? The exception to the rule. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, dear God, for this stupendous honor of speaking for you. Father, it would be a great honor to speak for the President of the United States, or if I'm in England, to speak for the Prime Minister, or in Canada, for Prime Minister Trudeau. But Father, you have sent me to speak for you. And God, I ask you, please, give me your words. I stand in this pulpit as an ambassador. And ambassadors have no opinions of their own. They always represent the government. And I stand to represent the government of heaven. Tell me what to say, dear God. Tell me when to say it. Tell me how to say it. Let your spirit possess my mind. I offer no resistance as He uses me the way a workman uses a tool. Now let this same Spirit be with those listening, dear God, that the words I speak may be clearly understood. A very special blessing on our two guests, Brother Sim and Sister Iris. May they be so touched, dear God, that they will desire to come back. Bless their families. Bless those watching via the internet. Let the word reach them, dear God, and change their lives. Bless this country. We thank you, Father, for freedom of worship. It will not last forever, but help us, dear God, to do all we can for the gospel while we still have it. Now I surrender myself to you, and I humble myself in your presence. Take all the glory, dear God. Give to us the blessing. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. What's our subject? The exception to the rule. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We shall read from verse 1. 1 Kings 17, reading from verse 1, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. This is Elijah speaking to the king. There will be no rain until I say so. Now, that's a man of God. What he means is, until God tells me to say so. That's what he means. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 2, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, verse 4, and read, finish verse 4 with me, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Let's read that verse microscopically. May I come a little closer to you? I feel distant and removed. Listen to verse 4. 1 Kings 17. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now read the rest of that verse with me if you have my version. And I have what? Commanded the ravens, come on, to feed thee there. God said, I have given a command to birds to feed you. Look at verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Come on, read with me. And bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The birds did exactly what God said. Now, this is not symbolic language. This is literal. Because God is the creator. In Genesis 1, from verse 20, the Bible says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So God made the birds. And so God can command the birds. And they understand the commands of God. Do not ask me to explain how birds understand God. They understand. The birds had to understand who Elijah was, where he was, what food to bring, and when. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there, and the ravens obeyed. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7, we shall read from verse 12. Our subject is what? You're a little slow. What's our subject? What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now, read verse 13 with me. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Now, carefully, the next statement, you read it. Or if I command the locusts, come on, to devour the land. Stop. God can instruct grasshoppers to consume that field and leave this one alone. If I command the locusts to devour the land, God commands birds. He commands locusts. Go to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. Read verses 5 and 6. While you look for Isaiah, let me set it up. God is displeased with the Israelites, as he very often was, because of their conduct and their refusal to obey him. And God is using the example or the analogy of a vineyard. He refers to the Israelites as his vineyard. He planted it, removed all the stones, built a tower, built a wine press, did everything for that vineyard. And in verse 4, God says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? What else could I do, says God? By the way, there's nothing else God can do to save you that he has not already done. Verse 5 of Isaiah 5, God is continuing, and these words are not pleasant. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Read with me. I will take away the, and it shall be eaten up. And will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be, verse 6, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up what? Briars and thorns. Now, finish verse 6. And I will command the clouds, finish the verse, that there rain no rain upon it. God can command a cloud, do not release your rain. We've seen God commanding three things. What was the first? Ravens. Second. Third. Clouds. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. We'll read from verse 37 of Mark chapter 4. Our subject, the exception to the rule. Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 37. I'll find those references as quickly as possible so that I might release you as quickly as possible. When you found it, say amen. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, read with me now, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, let us reason. We're looking at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. What is the next statement? What does it say? And the wind, what did the wind do? It obeyed. So when we read, rebuke the wind, what did he do? He commanded the wind and the sea. Told the sea, be still. The Bible says there was a great calm. He rebuked the wind ceased. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. All of nature stands ready to obey God's commands. After all, they were made by command. Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, we'll read from verse 1. Our subject? The exception to the rule. Genesis 1, you can't take long to find that. Let's read from verse 1. The Bible says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, in everywhere, everything. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Stop. And God said, Let there be light. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verse 6. Do you have that? Read with me, what does verse 6 say? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, stop. Now, keep your eye on 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 and listen to Genesis 1 3. And God said, Let there be light. How does Paul explain those words? God did what? Commanded. Let there be light is a command. You go to verse 6. Let there be a firmament, that's a command. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, that was a command. Creation is the result of command, and by command, God manages creation. And so God can command the locusts. God can command the ravens. God can command clouds. God can command the sea, and God can command the wind. And what's remarkable is not that he issues the command, but that they obey. Let's look at those things God commanded. A bird is a living thing. A locust is a living thing. A cloud is not. Yet, read my mind and finish my words. The cloud obeys. The sea is not a living thing in the sense that a tree is alive and a man is alive and a bird is alive, but the sea obeys God. Now, let's go. You were in Mark. I don't think you left. Let's finish Mark 4. We read verse 40 and verse 41. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Read verse 41 for me. And they feared exceedingly, because they'd never seen this. A man commanding the wind, and a man commanding, they had never seen it. By the way, when we live as God would have us to live, people will have the same experience. What kind of people are those? I'm talking to myself. Are you listening to me? When we live as God will have us live, people will say, what kind of people are they? And they feared exceedingly, verse 41, and said one to another, what do they say? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea, finish the verse, obey him? Let me tell you something about the wind and the sea and the locusts and the clouds and whatever else. When God made birds on day 5, listen to what the Bible says. Verse 20, Genesis 1, go there with me so you can read with me. We're looking at the creation of birds. Ravens are birds. Genesis 1, reading from verse 20. When you found it, say amen. And God said, how does verse 3 begin? And God said what? Let there be light. What does Paul call that? A command. Keep this in mind. Read verse 20. Are you ready? Read with me. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. What was that? A command. Look at verse 11. How does that begin? Verse 11, read with me. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Stop. Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Okay. Look at verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Let. But at no time do we read, and God said, let us make birds in our image. Let us make the sea in our image. Let us make the firmament in our image. Nothing is made in God's image until we come to day 6. Now read verse 26. And God said, let us make man, how? In our image, after our likeness. Stop. The crowning work of creation was mankind. On day 1, God made light. It obeyed. On day 2, God made the firmament. And some of you already know what I'm about to say. It obeyed. On day 3, God separated dry land from the water. They obeyed. On day 3 also, God told the grass, come up. The grass came. Day 4, he issued a command. Sun, moon, and stars came. Day 5, he issued a command. Birds appeared. Fish appeared. Day 6, he issued a command. Land animals appeared. Creeping things appeared. Of course, he made man and woman. Now let's look at another command. Before we do, does nature obey God, yes or no? Yes. Give me some examples. The ravens, come on, you can get the ravens, give me another one. Clouds, give me another one. Locusts, give me another one. The sea, give me another one. The wind. Nature obeys God. Now, go to Genesis 2. What's our subject? We're coming up to the inception. Read with me, verse 16, Genesis 2. But before we read, let's pray again. Father in heaven, as I come to the downward slope of this message, help me to speak simply. If in what I've said so far I said anything to displease you, forgive me. Now, Father, please tighten your control of my faculties. Let me only say what your word says. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 16. And the Lord God, what's that word? Commanded. Now, let there be light. What was that? Did God command?
Did the light come?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord God commanded the man, same God, same voice. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God issues now one more command, this time to that part of creation made how? In his image. The trees obeyed. The light obeyed. The fish obeyed. The birds obeyed. None of them made in God's image. Now God comes to those made in his image and gives them a command. Go to chapter 3. Let's read from verse 1. Our subject, the exception to the rule, and you already know now who the exception is. It's heartbreaking for God, it must be, that a cloud will obey him before his people obey. Verse 1, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, tragic verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They have sinned. Give me a longer word for sinned. Disobeyed. Now listen to God in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, read it with me now, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, ye shall not eat of it, thou curse is the ground for thy sake. Thou shalt not eat of it. Curse is the ground for thy sake. God tells Adam, because you disobeyed. It must be a cause, a source of eternal agony to God, that those made like him behave like the devil. That animals, birds, grass, clouds, water, and wind obey him before his people do. Listen to God speaking to Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 3 and expose yourself to some of God's frustrations. The exception to the rule is our subject for this evening. Looks like 8:45. We'll be done before 9. Or I will be. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from verse 5. Now, God is sending Ezekiel with a message to the Israelites. Read verse 5 with me. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language up to the children of Israel. God is saying, I am sending you to your people. I am sending you to my people, which are called by my name. Verse 6. Not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language do I send you, but to whom? Whose words thou cannot understand, but to the... Surely, had I sent thee unto them, they would have what? Hearkened unto thee. Do you understand what God is saying? I am not sending you to the heathen whose language you cannot understand. I am sending you to the Israelites. God said, if I had sent you to the heathen, they would have listened. But my people, read verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are what? and hard-hearted. And it's so sad. You know, sometimes a parent has to confront a child. The child will listen to a friend and not listen to the parent. Are you with me? Now, I have no children, but I'm trying to understand how a parent feels when the child listens to a friend of the same age, of the same limited experience, and will not listen to the parent who provides food, clothing, shelter, tuition, a car, a bus, a train, everything you need, but you will not listen to that parent, you listen to some unsaved friend. And God is saying, Ezekiel, if the heathen heard this message, they would listen, but the Israelites will not listen to you. My brothers and sisters, God sent Christ to demonstrate it is possible to obey God. It is possible to obey God. Anything He tells us. Not simply the commands that are consistent with our dreams and hopes and ambitions, but the commands that are inconvenient, that cause us economic loss and the loss of friends and the loss of whatever. Those commands we can obey. Christ came to demonstrate we can obey God. Because the pathway to a blessed life is obedience. And so Jesus said of Himself in John chapter 10, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Christ testifies, I have obeyed my Father. Go to John 17, let's read from verse 1. John 17, verse 1, that chapter really is the true Lord's Prayer. What we say, our Father which art in heaven, that's a model prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Have you found John 17 from verse 1? Read with me. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Now read verse 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. Come on. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. I have done what You told me to do. I have done what You sent me to do. You wrap that up into one word. I have obeyed. We're sick because we don't obey God. We have problems in society because we don't obey God. Most of them. Some problems arise because you obey. And the world can't take it. We have family problems because we don't obey God. We have economic problems because we don't obey God. At your leisure and convenience, within the next 24 hours, read Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 13. Not now. I hesitated to give you because I knew you'd start looking. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 13, not now. When you get home. Read it microscopically. And see what God has promised to those who do one thing. Tell me what that is. Obey. Now tomorrow, I will talk a little more about obedience from a perspective perhaps you've never thought of. And you will realize that salvation is based on obedience. The cross of Christ, it has no effect in the life of someone who is not obedient. Even coming to Christ as a sinner, saying, Lord, save me, that is done on the basis of obedience. Let us stop being the exception to the rule. We ought to have a sense of spiritual pride. Wait a minute. If a bird can obey, I can obey. Are you with me? We take that in other areas of life. If that guy, you know, with half a brain can pass the exam, why can't I pass it? Are you following me? If he's 5 feet and he dunks, I'm 6 feet two, how come I can't dunk? We think like that. Well, if a bird can obey God, what's your problem? If a cloud can obey God, what's my problem? I want you tonight to make a decision, a choice. You chose to wear what you're wearing. Now, the choice may not have been conscious. You chose to wear it. You chose to drive the direction you took. Because I'm sure there were other routes available to you to get to this church. You chose what you had for lunch. There were other options. You chose that shoe you're wearing. You had other options. The greatest gift God has given to us, or one of the greatest gifts, is choice. That's why a lot of us never grow. We don't choose. Choose to read the Bible. I get texts all the time or emails. Pray for me. I'm having this problem at work and my spiritual life is declining. What do you mean your spiritual life is declining? That's like saying I'm drowning and I'm going to put on a belt made of lead. When you're having problems, that's the worst time for your spiritual life to decline. Are you listening to me? Choose. Get all these requests, pray for this, pray for that. Well, of course, we pray for one another, James 5:16, pray for one another. And I do that. But I write back frequently and say, look, this young man wrote me, he said, I don't go to church anymore, pray for me to go back. I said, look, you chose to stop. Finish my words. Choose to go back. Choose to go back. I'm not doing well in school. Why? Well, I spend too much time on the internet. Choose to stop. Tonight, I want you to make a choice. Father, I choose by your grace to obey you. Obedience is life. Are you with me? Go to Romans 7, read verse 10. Let me show you something. Then I'm finishing. It's 6 minutes to 9. And I don't want to break my word to let you go before 9, but sometimes these things happen. Romans 7, read verse 10. Do you have it? What does Paul say? And the commandment, come on, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now, the commandment is ordained to life to whom? Those who obey. But he found it to be death for whom? Those who disobey. Listen to me. Obedience is life. Great controversy. Page 467, paragraph 4. The law reveals to man his sins, but provides no remedy. While it promises life to the obedient, it declares that death is the portion of the transgressor. Let me say that again. The law reveals to man his sins, but provides no remedy. While it promises life to the obedient, it declares that death is the portion of the transgressor. The law of God was given for life. Disobedience is death, a slow death. There are some people suffering needlessly because they simply would not listen. Ask God to give you the mind of Jesus. Not a mind similar to it. The same mind. Without turning to this verse, say it with me, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The identical mind, which he had when he walked in your identical flesh. With this mind, our greatest desire, And our highest joy will be to obey God, so that it will be said of us, as the Bible says of Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Tonight, I want you to choose to obey God. Children, I want you to choose to obey your parents. I want you to choose to make time to read the Bible. I want you to choose to make a little time to read something from the writings of Ellen White. I want you to choose to get to church on time. Because we choose to be late. Let's choose to obey. Then God will combine His power with our choice. Can you say amen? It is God's power that we might exercise our choice. It is not God's choice. God can't choose for us. God can recommend for us. And so we read in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. This is God. Then God says, with fatherly love, paternal concern, choose life, that both thou, come on, and thy seed may live. Choose life, says God. Choose obedience. How many will say with me tonight, Father, give me a heart to obey you? Can I see your hand? Do you mean that? Say yes or no. Stand up with me. Give me a heart to obey you. Obedience is life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, God. It is so simple. When we read honestly and we lay aside our prejudices born of tradition and custom and habit, dear God, give us a sense of decency and holy pride. By holy pride, I mean that which will allow us to say, wait a minute, if a locust can obey, I can obey. That kind of pride, dear God, instill that within us. Help us to understand that obedience is life. Give us a sense of shame, dear Father, as we contemplate that in all of creation, disobedience is only found in that part of creation made in your image. Dear God, if a bird can obey, and a cloud can obey, and the sea can obey, and the wind can obey, and locusts can obey, surely we can obey. Now, Father, we stood to say we desire to obey you. Give to us as we stand where we are an infilling of the mind of Jesus. You've promised, dear God, in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Do that now, Father, because we cannot do it. But we invite you to do it for us. With this new heart and this new mind will come a new attitude towards you, the attitude of obedience from the heart. Bless us as we prepare to leave. Let the words we've heard remain with us, Father, and bring us back tomorrow to hear your word again. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.